Culinary Institute of Child Nutrition proudly welcomes you to The Mix-Up, an iBites production. I'm your host, Chef Patrick Garmong, mixing it up with culinary experts from the child nutrition community.
Hello, everyone. I'm Garrett Burdan with the Culinary Institute of Child Nutrition, filling in today for Chef Patrick Garmong. On today's episode of The Mix-Up, I am joined by Ben Atkinson, Assistant Director of Child Nutrition at Auburn School District in Washington State. Hey, Ben, welcome to The Mix-Up.
Hey, Garrett. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad you could join me. I've known you for several years now, and you and I entered school nutrition operations at about the same time, and I'm so glad you did. So tell me a little bit about your entrance into school nutrition and your current role with Auburn School District.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I work at Auburn School District, which is kind of between Seattle and Tacoma in Washington State on the west side of the state. It's a, medium-sized school district. We've got about 17,000 students in the district, you know, three big high schools, four big middle schools, and a bunch of elementary schools. It's a really fun place to be because there's lots of different cultures represented in our school district, lots of different, you know, just lots of different types of people that are, bringing all of their interesting backgrounds to the school district. So I really enjoy working with all the folks in the community. My current role is the assistant director in the child nutrition department. And I guess my main duties would be creating the menus for all the different grade levels, handling any kind of like grant funded program. So whether we're applying for grants to get kitchen equipment or doing some sort of like public health intervention through like the county or state Department of Health. Any of the, I don't want to call them small, but like kind of other programs that are like just besides serving breakfast and lunch. So we've got after school meal programs, we've got a fresh fruit and vegetable tasting program. So all those, you know, keeping track and keeping kind of managing all those programs and make sure that they are off the ground and funded and running relatively smoothly. I also fill the clinical nutrition roles in the school district. So, you know, it's a lot of food allergies, food preferences, and working with the nursing staff on how to handle all those. As well as any other kind of feeding issues that come up. You know, maybe it's working with a blenderized diet, some kind of tube feeding protocol, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's varied. I'll say that, you know, lots of different, like totally different things happening each day, which is good. Keeps me on my toes, keeps it exciting, and keeps, I'm constantly having to like, learn and like look those things up, like, okay, what's the latest on, you know, blenderizing, you know, quote unquote real food instead of, you know, using Ensure or something.
Sure.
So yeah, it's fun. It's a good place to be. I'm happy to be here.
That's great. And, you know, certainly you have a lot on your plate. And having all of that variety of activities definitely makes the days go by quickly and the weeks go by quickly. And the school year probably flies by as well. So I think it's one of the benefits of working in that kind of position, you know, the diversity of activity that you're faced with on a regular basis. So you started in school nutrition coming from healthcare. Tell me about how that transition worked for you, like what your healthcare background was, and then going into school nutrition and how that transition worked for you.
Yeah. So it's been interesting. I mean, you kind of started off saying that you and I had both gotten into school nutrition a few years ago, right around the same time. But honestly, I'd been trying to get into it for like a decade or more.
Wow. Okay.
But, you know, there's only so many school districts and it's the jobs can be hard to come by sometimes. So I think like a lot of dietitians, I started off in a clinical position. for about the first 5 or 6 years after I graduated with my dietitian degree. I worked at a big hospital as an outpatient dietitian, you know, counseling patients about this or that issue. Worked in like a bunch of different kinds of clinics. So that was kind of fun to like learn about different different health conditions and different ways to tackle those. I thought that was really cool. It also really, and this is where you get into, I think, the difference between school nutrition and clinical nutrition. I think that school nutrition, from what I've seen so far, is more valued by the coworkers, the folks in the school district, as well as the community that you're serving. Not that clinical dietitians are not appreciated. I'm not saying that, but I think in the clinical realm, I think you are kind of like always fighting for respect. Respect isn't quite the right word, but you know, to be at the table. Like there would be days I would sit in like the cardiology clinic, mm-hmm. like the one area of health where there is a massive amount of evidence that nutrition is good for people with heart problems, whether it's like preventing them in the first place or helping folks after they have a heart attack or stroke, like anything to do with your heart. Like there's no doubt that nutrition helps. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would sit in the cardiology clinic for hours and like not get any referrals, you know, and there'd be 100 patients coming in, like just in the morning session. And I would just sit there. And it was interesting. It was really interesting. A contrast to that, working in the school district, and I feel like we're all on the same team. Like we all want to do what's best for the kids, like whether that's teaching them math, making sure the building is functioning and standing upright, or, you know, giving them some good tasting and healthy food. I think everybody's like, yep, we got to do what's best for the kids. You know, that's the priority. We're not going to let anything get in the way. So that's been like super nice to see in the school district world.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody can get on board with teaching kids how to make healthy choices, because it will establish hopefully lifelong, you know, healthy eating habits. All right. So getting a little bit more into your experience with the school district so far and sort of the day to day, I know that you not long ago procured some vehicles, I think, to use with your summer food service program. But tell me about that process and what you're doing there.
Yeah. So that's kind of a trip. Purchasing vehicles can be an expensive endeavor. So, you know, when you do things like that in the school food service realm, you got to follow some rules. And it kind of depends on, you know, depends on where you're at, you know, whether you need to follow like the state's rules or the federal rules. So, you know, we rely quite a bit on a good partnership with our like finance folks in the school district to let us know, you know, at what point do I need to go get 3 quotes, or at what point do I need to, like, you know, put this out for a formal bid and kind of, you know, advertise that to the community and do it, you know, follow all those kind of steps. So I actually find that kind of stuff fun and interesting to like work mm-hmm. through. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we purchased, I think, 8, you know, work vans, like, I guess I don't need to say the model. These people don't need any more, business, right?
I get it though. You say 8, the 8's a big number, 8 work vans. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and yeah, initially we bought them for our summer food service program, and we run a pretty good sized summer food service program. We've usually got, you know, half dozen or more school kitchens open, and we kind of use those as satellites and, you know, strategically place them throughout the school district. So we're kind of covering all the areas that need to get covered. But yeah, we bought those vans, and there's, you know, it's kind of like buying a blank slate, right? Mm-hmm. Or a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we wanted to put some fun pictures of fruit and vegetables on the outside. So that's, you know, that's another like procurement or purchasing process. We got to go find a graphic designer, and we had to find somebody to paint them on the side of the vans. But it's cool that, you know, they look really nice, and I like it because you can see them. It's fun to see them driving like throughout the school district.
Yeah.
You know, whether I'm on my way to work or whether I'm out working, it's like, it's cool to see like these school nutrition vans driving around. It's good advertisement for the department. But you know, we wanted to keep doing better and better. So we thought, we could throw like a warming oven in there. So we got the forklifts out and put some, lifted some, warmers into the vans, strapped them to the side of the vans. Wow. So I like that, you know, for the food quality and food safety aspect, as we're driving around for an hour, it's nice to have a warm box to, put the food in and out of.
Yeah.
We also, you know, just kind of over time have learned like other things we need, especially once we strap those, like, you know, 500 pound steel ovens into the vans. We decided we need some partitions between the back cargo area and the front driver area, because I don't want that for oven safety to be flying around the van.
Sure.
makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've also got a lot of different types of folks working for us, just like everywhere, right? But I've got some ladies who are shorter in stature, so we need to get some steps installed onto the vans, because, you know, hopping in and out of those vans 20, 30 times a day, that'll, you know, put some wear on your knees and back and everything.
Yeah.
And kind of the next step that we're looking at is trying to make it a little bit more like a food truck, but not, maybe not taking it quite that far, but getting some more like refrigeration or freezer equipment in there. And installing like a inverter or separate battery system to like power that stuff while it's actually running. Mm-hmm. I think that again will really allow us to be out in the vans a little bit longer, drive kind of longer routes potentially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially in the summer, I mean, it's Western Washington, it doesn't get to be, you know, we're not in Arizona, but, still gets hot out there. And I like the yogurt smoothies to be cold when the kids get them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. for quality. And again, going back to the food safety piece too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, that's great.
Yeah, that's the plan going forward. And, you know, kind of speaking about vehicles, we are also building a food truck, and that's been like a real trip to, yeah, just to figure out how to make that project happen. You know, I've worked a fair amount like, with remodeling kitchens, and, you know, we're building a bunch of new schools in the district. So having a hand in how those things are designed, but it's definitely kind of a trip, like, having a junky little truck, with a box on the back, and figuring out how to like fit what you want into that.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, figure out like, not just like where I want the refrigerator and like the workflow of the whole unit, but like how the, like all the utilities work for that.
Yeah.
You know, is this going to be powered by propane or unleaded gasoline, or do we have a generator? Yeah, it's really interesting. We're, so we have, you know, we have the design. I worked with an engineer as well as another guy who owns a bunch of food trucks, you know, they kind of consulted on the project.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to take it through this, like, you know, school nutrition has lots of regulatory oversight, you know, whether it's from the state or federal level, but this is like another layer on that. This is through like another state agency that you have to get these food truck plans approved by, you know, beyond the health department, beyond all that stuff, you know, cause, they want to make sure this vehicle that has like extra propane tanks and, different possibly dangerous stuff on it. They want to make sure it doesn't blow up and nobody gets hurt. So it makes sense, but taking this project through those other regulatory agencies was definitely a challenge. And we've been successful getting it through those agencies, and now it's being built. We have it at the shop of a local builder, a really good and knowledgeable guy and his crew, and they're putting the thing together. So we're pretty excited that this thing is actually going to happen, probably by about the end of the calendar year. And, it'll be fun to drive around a food truck and serve food to the kids out of it. I think it'll be a blast.
That'll be a blast for sure. That's what a project to take on, for one, and like to see it through and to go through all of those details and the steps to get to that point. Okay. So now that you've got it in sight by the end of the calendar year, do you have a sense yet for how you're going to debut that food truck?
Yeah, I know. It needs to be something splashy, I think. You're right.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about like the grand opening scenario. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll definitely need like a small parade or something through the downtown. I'm kidding.
A small parade. I think that sounds great. It's worthy of a parade.
But no, we've definitely got plans on how to use it in like the regular school day. We're going to focus on our three high schools and one smaller high school. Mm. We'll kind of set up shop at each of those for a week. We'll produce all the food in those high school kitchens, put it all out onto the truck, and then drive the truck around to the front of the school, basically. I'll probably put it in neutral to save gas, just push it. and then we're going to throw like 200 tacos out of the truck in 2 minutes. And, because that's the other kind of trip is like, it's in trying to figure out what to menu on these, you know, like we, so our big high schools have, you know, like 15 to 1800 kids in them. So like literally we'll serve, I don't know, 300, 400, 500 lunches, like in a 30-minute lunch period.
Right.
Well, how do we get that much food out of the food truck like that fast? Like we're not doing special orders, you know. Right. We're not going to sit there and warm up your tortilla before we make the taco or burrito out of it. Like, so, that was part of the design aspect for sure. Like, how do we put like a ton of hot holding and a ton of cold holding in here? Because we're basically going to maybe have time to throw a little bit of garnish on the top and then out the window.
Right.
Next person.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like an amazing way for the students to have yet another bit of variety in where they can go to, you know, make their meal selection, and the novelty of having a food truck parked outside the front of the school, I think will be really appealing. So I can't wait to hear about how that goes for you.
Yeah, the other little, I'll quit talking about this in a second, but the other thing that will be fun about the food truck is we do have a pretty nice culinary program in our high schools where they can take 2 or 3, you know, culinary classes and gain some skills in the kitchen, in a big commercial kitchen. And so I think it'll be fun to like bring them something that, this gives them another like career opportunity potentially. Right. I mean, that's why people use food trucks, because it's a little, it's not cheap, but it's definitely cheaper than like, you know, buying a brick and mortar space, buying all that equipment, hiring all that staff. I mean, it's I think it'll be a nice, nice thing to show the kids, sure. Show them, another career option.
Yeah. It's a great learning opportunity. And a way to, you know, get started in the food world.
Yep.
Or stay, you know, in the food world. Well, thank you so much for sharing with me about the food truck. I mean, that's really exciting. I can't wait to see how it comes together. You'll have to send me some pictures
for sure
when it's ready. All right. So moving on, you mentioned earlier about the that your school district has a diverse population being in the Seattle metro area. Tell me a bit about how this has shaped like some menu innovations that you've done in the past couple of years. Share with me some of those menu items.
Yeah, so I think the kind of school food industry, I will say the food industry that tends to serve school nutrition programs, you know, in some ways can make it real easy to serve certain items. You know, it's pretty easy to get frozen pizza, hamburger patties, you know, breaded chicken patties, things like that. And, you know, those are definitely acceptable to pretty much any kid, right? No kid is going to turn down cheese pizza or pepperoni pizza. But I think, you know, if we start like stepping back and thinking about what folks in whatever community you're in, what they're eating at home, you know, it's not pizza and corn dogs every night at home. And like you said, Auburn is a very diverse community in whatever way you want to define diverse. So, you know, there's folks that are, you know, making sushi at night for dinner. There's folks that are, you know, making a quick stir fry for dinner. There's folks that are, you know, taking hours to make their meal and make it real, you know, real pleasing and good for their family. So it's just, you know, it's all across the board. So we want to place value on those different foods that folks are eating. So we've done a couple things. We've worked with our school principals and kitchen managers to gather feedback about what those, you know, what their students are telling them. So for instance, we've got one new school kind of on the northern part of our school district where there's like a bunch of housing that was just built in the last couple of years. And it tended to be populated by just a couple particular cultures. So we thought it would be good to, you know, show them that we value that, those types of foods, those tastes, those smells, those textures. I think that's important. I think we need to make kids feel like, you know, they're represented and they're valued in the school. And even though, you know, it might seem like a small thing sometimes, cause like I said, every kid likes pizza. But I think if you are, and we hear this from our students, right? As well as coworkers, my friends, family members. If you don't always see yourself or your culture or your religion or what have you represented in these like public spaces, it's just one little way that you don't feel valued. Yeah. Anyways, long story short is, over the last year, we've been working really hard to offer some more variety and figure out some things that are not like too difficult to make in the kitchens. I mean, you know, some of these kitchens were built 50 years ago, and I can't like rapidly change what's in them. You know, I can't, you know, today go in and put a tilt skillet in somewhere.
Sure.
You can't, you know, that stuff takes time and we're working towards that. But, you know, in thinking about some of these recipes, kind of need to think about how it fits into what we have to work with in the kitchens. So, you know, one example of that, we started making this chana masala, which is I think, a really nice thing that can just go in the oven. You know, you can just throw beans, tomatoes, onions, spices in the oven, mm-hmm. you know, and just let it roast and, you know, bring all that nice caramelized onion and roasted tomato and all those flavors kind of come out. And so it's been a nice addition that's not too like off-putting to the folks working in the kitchen. You know, it's not this like big multi-step thing where I got to saute something, then I got to roast something, then puree something. And it's like, no, take the number 10 can, pour it in, mm-hmm. throw that in the oven. Let's see. So that's one kind of easier example.
I love chana masala, by the way. It's delicious.
Yeah, especially like this time of year, you know, when it's getting a little bit colder out, and you can serve it with, you know, some nice bread or rice on the side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's colorful, right? Yeah. I mean, it's cheap, right? It's just canned beans, tomatoes.
Yeah.
Buy some pre-diced onions. Let's see. Another thing we've been working on, we made some dal. Nice little Indian dish, which is kind of along the same lines. And also I should say you helped me out on that recipe, so thank you very much.
Happy to help.
But you know, it's kind of the same idea. It's not like quite how you would make it if you were cooking at home, but just by making a few tweaks, making sure you can find lentils, which is not something that's like always right on school nutrition like ordering guides, but other than that, it's another one of those things. Put it all in the pan, throw it in the oven, wait 40 minutes and it's done. So it's not like, it's not honestly not that much harder than throwing the frozen pizza in the oven. Mm-hmm. And again, it's something that you know, when it's fall or winter, it's very like warming and hearty and filling. It, you know, provides an option for kids who are following like a vegetarian or halal diet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of traditional home-cooked Indian food. It's, you know, it really meets a lot of our needs for our school district. Another thing we've been trying to do is work on kind of more scratch-made Asian dishes. You know, again, it's, you can pretty easily buy, maybe not right now, but the supply chain issues, but you know, you can buy frozen teriyaki chicken or frozen sweet and sour chicken.
Like sure. Kind of yeah.
Stuff, which is good and it tastes good. So just yesterday I had been eating this like chili crisp at home.
Love that stuff.
Yeah. It's super good. And if you haven't tried this, if you're listening, you know, it's just really, it's like this kind of Szechuan seasoning that's both like spicy, you know, like a jalapeno or some other pepper, but also like numbing. And that's kind of the double spiciness.
Yes, of the Szechuan peppercorn. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's kind of fun. And I, the folks in the kitchen were making fun of me yesterday because I, you know, whipped the sauce up and, you know, you got to try it, right? But it's pretty spicy when it's on its own. And, you know, so there's definitely some coughing and sneezing and bending over. I mean, it was like, whoo. Again, this is another thing where, you know, really only took about 10, 15 minutes to heat up a pan full of oil to, you know, 300, 350, on the stovetop, pour in this, I don't have the bottle here, but you can buy pre-made like dry chili crisp starter.
Oh, cool.
And I've actually made it at home. It's actually not, it's not hard to make, you know, you need some red pepper flakes, you need some dried onions, some dried garlic, you know, for the crispy.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. It's really not like much harder than that to make from scratch. You know, kind of let that infuse into the oil, mm-hmm. And then put it on top of whatever kind of protein or vegetables you're making. So yesterday I used some par-fried tofu and cut that up into some little triangles and strips, and then like a 4 ounce chicken breast. Yeah, so it was, you know, just like a couple examples of things that we are trying to do that aren't like super technical, but have some kind of new flavors, new colors, new textures, beyond the pizza and hamburgers and chicken nuggets. But that also, like I said a few minutes ago, show value to folks from other cultures, religions, yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
I really appreciate how you are framing that in terms of showing your students, your families, and the customers that that you're putting value in their background and reflecting, you know, what they're doing at home in the menus at school, so that they can see themselves as part of the community of school. I think that's a really important perspective to take, and it's not one that I've heard anyone talk about before. So I appreciate that philosophy coming from you in your menu planning. And those menu items that you shared, the chana masala, the dal, and the chili crunch on tofu, that sounds delicious. It's making me hungry. Just to recap, making the chili crunch. So this is, so you're using oil, you're heating it up, and then you're adding the chili flakes, Szechuan peppercorns also.
Yep.
And the garlic flakes, the onion flakes, right? Yep. And then that heats together, it sizzles in the pan together with the hot oil. It kind of turns red a little bit, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep, because of that nice red color in the oil. Because I mean, so if you're cooking this at home, mm-hmm. you know, you can buy a little like 6 or 8 ounce jar of chili crisp seasoning at, usually not like at a Safeway, but you know, at a more local store.
Sure.
So that's kind of what we're trying to replicate for like food service needs. At least as far as I can find, you can't find like 6 number 10 cans of chili crisp. No. Which is unfortunate.
Maybe, you know what, you're the trendsetter right now, so this time next year you'll see I'm sure you'll see that product available. I do want to ask, you mentioned a par fried tofu. Is this something that you purchased par fried, or do you par fry in-house?
Yeah, good question. No, this is something we purchased from a local company out of Tacoma, which is just like, you know, 15 miles south of us, mm-hmm. Tacoma Tofu. Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of getting into talking about supply chain stuff. That's something that is not like typically, from what I've seen at least, on like a school nutrition purchasing or ordering guide.
That's why I had to ask about it, because it's not something I've heard of, but, and that is a find. I'm so happy for you that you got this par fried tofu.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to drive over to Auburn and try some of that. All right. Let's see. I did want to ask you a little bit about, I have a couple of more questions for you. I wanted to talk a little bit about the pandemic and how that's affected your program. And then I have some like quick questions that I just want to ask so we can get to know you a little bit, and then we'll do a wrap up. So regarding the pandemic, are you currently experiencing supply chain challenges like that result in last minute menu changes, like a lot of programs across the country? And to what lengths do you have to go to make sure that you have what you need?
Yeah, so we're experiencing what you see nationwide for sure. I don't know if we're better or worse off than other folks that I, you know, see in different professional groups or social media, but I know we're all struggling in one way or the other. But yeah, just, you know, to give you some examples, I mean, we still have delivery trucks that don't come on the day that they're scheduled. We have the inability to get certain food or restaurant supply type products. You know, that could be anything from like paper plates or plastic silverware or what else? boats or food trays.
Sure.
You know, I got to scour the internet for those right now. It's kind of, it's, basically I have a department credit card and I spend a lot of time Googling 3-pound food tray. but yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a struggle. It's, and it, you know, I, we work a lot with our distributors, our food vendors, food manufacturers, you know, trying to let them know like what we need and what it's like on the ground. Cause it's this, it's like this weird situation where we've got this, kind of amazing opportunity to have more kids come through our doors since breakfast and lunch is free for everybody this year.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that, you know, some of our schools, it kind of depends on the school and like the neighborhood, in our district, but you know, there's schools that are serving 100% more kids than they did 2 years ago. There's others that are serving 50% more. So
it's a big increase.
Yeah. I mean, I was at, one of our high schools, like the first week that kids were back in the building in September. And I mean, there was a day where we literally ran out of food and we had to shut the doors because we, like the food was gone. There is no more food. Like we were passing out whatever Pop-Tarts we could find in the dry storage. Like it was, and we were done, you know, we were down to like mayonnaise packets.
Oh man.
Yeah. So it's, you know, in terms of like planning a menu, I mean, we do put in the work to let the distributors, vendors, manufacturers know what we need. But if they're struggling and, you know, bless their hearts, I know they're working hard. If they're struggling making that food or delivering it to a warehouse or delivering it to us, you know, the menu is kind of goes up in smoke.
Right.
So our staff is doing the best they can. And again, bless them also, because they are, you know, making the magic happen. They're trying to figure out how to make sure they've got 2 grains and 2 meats and enough fruit and vegetables out on display. It's a struggle, to say the least.
I can't even imagine the stress level currently and trying to make all of that work and make those last minute changes and having a situation, hopefully a rare situation, where you've literally run out of anything to serve and you have to turn students away.
Yeah. I mean, this is another little story. I mean, this is like, I think about 2 weeks ago, actually, was the first time I stopped getting up at 2 a.m. every morning to like look at the delivery app and see if our trucks were going to show up. Yeah, it's wild out there. So
yeah,
kudos to all the school nutrition workers, managers, distributors, vendors, et cetera, who are making all this happen.
I agree. Kudos for sure. And better days are yet to come. Let's hope.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's shift gears again. And I'm going to ask you some more lighthearted questions now. So just a couple, Ben, so that we can get to know you. Tell me something about yourself that I wouldn't find on your LinkedIn profile.
Let's see. Stuff that's not on my LinkedIn. I like riding bicycles. Any kind of bicycle, any shape of bicycle, any terrain of bicycle riding. I don't know. It's just something about, like, you know, the wind blowing through your hair and, you know, kind of go. It's nice to, like, you know, just go fast.
Yeah.
Like now when I've been running a little more, now when I'm running, I'm like, man, I'm like not even moving. I covered like, you know, a couple miles and like, I'm like not even outside my neighborhood. yeah. So it's, I don't know. I just love it. And, you know, the garage keeps filling up with like ridiculous Craigslist bicycles that I'm trying to fix up and, make pretty again.
That's great. So you like riding bicycles. I also know that you like milkshakes. So, and probably those two go together somehow. So tell me, where is your go-to place for a milkshake?
I mean, my go-to place is my house. Because we make a lot of ice cream. We like make a lot of milkshakes at the house.
Nice.
Yeah, we got just like a little Cuisinart brand, I think. Mm-hmm. Ice cream maker at the house. So you know, there's usually a tub of like something at least basic, you know, some kind of vanilla or chocolate, homemade. Sure. In the fridge, freezer. if I wasn't eating it, milkshakes at my house, though, I'll tell you the best place to eat milkshakes are the places that give you like the cup of milkshakes, but then also the stainless,
yes, you know,
24 ounce container,
yeah,
of like the second half of the milkshake.
Yeah. The extra.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, if you're not serving it like that, I'm not coming.
I do love that too. Yeah. To pour that extra in. And,
yeah. Probably the last place where I had a milkshake like that, was this place in, like Ruston, Washington, which is kind of right on the water near Tacoma. But there's this sandwich shop that's been there for a long time. It's called Antique Sandwich Shop. Mm-hmm. It's just like in this old building, like right by the ferry dock. Super busy, but like unassuming looking on the outside. Got a nice like grassy area where you can eat, you know, to be COVID safe. But yeah, just had a nice quality vanilla milkshake from there this summer. And I can tell because, you know, if you make a vanilla milkshake at home, you know, add milk or half and half and some vanilla ice cream, it tastes fine, right?
Yeah.
You know, I could tell they put a little something into it. You know, I could tell there's a little extra like vanilla extract, sure, a little pinch of cinnamon, you know, like it was like a little step up. I was happy.
Mm, sounds satisfying.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So next question is, what has been the work achievement that is most meaningful to you so far in school nutrition?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think kind of going back to the beginning of this interview where we're talking about like how working in a hospital or clinical setting as a nutrition professional is different from working in school food service. When you're working in a hospital or clinical setting, like directly with patients, you can't always see the like effects of what you're doing. You know, there would be times when like I would talk to somebody, you know, they'd be like, rah, 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 I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I wouldn't see him for like 3 years, which is fine. That's their prerogative. But I'm just saying in terms of like seeing the benefits, mm-hmm, of your work. I there's something about like seeing the kids eat in a cafeteria or like in the summer, if we're out in a grassy park, you know, seeing them like bite into something and smile and, you know that they're satisfied and well fed. And, you know, along those lines, like there's this one moment this past summer, we had a couple of dietitian interns that were riding around in the car with me, like making sure everything was going good at all these summer feeding sites. And we stopped at this one place, and on the menu that day, we had kind of the usual stuff. You know, we had some sandwiches, some smoothies, but we had a chicken curry, and this little guy came up, you know, 5 years old maybe. And we run through the menu options with him, and we've got the Vans, you know, so they're kind of open. And you can, out of the hot box, you can kind of smell like what's in there. So you, yeah, can smell like a little bit of that curry, you know, yeah, the cumin and, you know, all that stuff kind of coming through. And he said, oh, I want the chicken curry. This little guy.
That's awesome.
And we're like, you know, we got sandwiches, we got smoothies, peanut butter jelly. You sure? It's like, yeah, come here. I had that at school last year. It was so good.
Oh man. But
not like that was it.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Just melts your heart.
Yeah.
To know that, like, you know, the effort that you put into it, that it's working, the kids are excited about it. That's awesome.
Yep. Yep.
What a cool thing too for your dietetic interns to see.
For sure. Yeah. 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 The one, you know, the other little thing I like that really like makes me happy is, you know, we've got a great staff here in the school district. A lot of people are, you know, they're here for that reason that I just mm-hmm. talked about.
Yes.
But I like when I give them a new recipe to try and they do it, but then they come back at me with like something that just like takes it up another level, you know, something that either like worked better production wise or made it taste better. I think one of the ladies this past spring, we were making this banh mi sandwich, which nice. By the way, I stole that recipe from you. but you know, she was making it in the kitchen, and she just some like simple things. We were making it using like lunch meat, you know, sliced turkey ham or turkey, mm-hmm. which was good. But she, you know, said, "Oh, we actually grilled these chicken strips, put a little bit of garlic powder on them, and you know, it kind of like just took it up a little bit notch,
just made
it
look elevates.
Like a little more." Like yeah. you buy out of your local, you know, Vietnamese joint. It was
definitely.
I was like, you go. That's you're killing it right now.
And has that now become part of the regular rotation? Is the
yeah.
grilled chicken banh mi?
Yep.
Oh yep, sure. gosh, that's really excellent. That's yep. great. That's again, as you're saying, yeah, it's so rewarding to work with people like that who love food and who care, you know, to put in the extra effort. That's yep. great. Yep. Yeah. So what would you tell a fellow dietitian or really anybody who's interested, who wanted to get into working in school nutrition?
So I would tell somebody looking at school nutrition for a career.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That it is, I think it meets, it like checks a lot of boxes, at least for me as a career. Like I can do fun things in the kitchen. You know, I can kind of be creative and figure out how to make things work in the kitchen. I can work directly with students and parents about like food preferences or allergies. Same with the nurses, can work with them. So it kind of gets you that kind of more science-y bit of practice. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing that's really cool is you can have a pretty broad impact on the community or society, however big you want to take it. You know, just in the fact that for our, you know, for like my size school district, we are making thousands of meals every day.
Right.
And so if, you know, just from like a statistical standpoint, you know, if there's like, you know, 1 gram more fiber in those, you know, 10,000 meals we're serving, man, that's like really keeping a lot more people healthy and satisfied and all that stuff.
Yeah, it makes an impact.
It does. And it's a huge impact. And I think even like stepping further back, if we, you can have an impact on like the food system, mm-hmm. you know, how food is made and produced and shipped and all that stuff. You know, whether you're buying some local food or more, like better quality food that maybe doesn't have as much pesticides or, you know, doesn't use as much water, you know, whatever you're concerned about, whatever things that could help like the community or food system at large. I think it's cool to be able to make those sorts of impacts. So really for me, it like, it allows you to like learn and have impact in all these different areas.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you put it, that it checks a lot of boxes, that, you know, there's a lot of job satisfaction in all of those areas. It's I would venture to guess that it's also a good quality of life. I mean, you did earlier mention getting up at 2:30 in the morning to make sure that your trucks were arriving. That's not so great, but I think generally, school nutrition offers a great quality of life too, and you get to work with a team of amazing people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, wherever you live, there's a school district. Yeah. And while, you know, sometimes those jobs can be a little bit hard to find, you know, I think if you're like, for instance, like a dietitian wanting to work in a hospital, you know, there's actually not a hospital in every city or every county even.
Right.
So, you know, if you're looking to work in a more rural place, there's a school district there.
Yeah.
They need folks to work in the kitchen. They need folks to manage it. So I think that's kind of a cool thing too. There's some opportunities.
That's great. Ben, you have been such a great guest on the podcast, and I really appreciate your time answering the questions so thoughtfully. I appreciate your perspective and all of the extra effort that you're putting into your menus in Auburn. I hope, I'm sure you're going to, this podcast is going to inspire some others around the country to try some new things. So Ben, I want to thank you again for joining me today on the Mix Up podcast. And I look forward to hearing how your food truck rolls out when it's ready.
So, hey, thank you so much to you and ICN. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Ben.
All right. See ya.
Join us next time as we continue to mix it up with culinary experts from the child nutrition community. I've been your host, Chef Patrick Garmong from the Culinary Institute of Child Nutrition. Hey, don't forget to wash your hands.
This project has been funded at least in part with federal funds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Food and Nutrition Service through an agreement with the Institute of Child Nutrition at the University of Mississippi. The contents of this publication do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, nor does mention of trade names, commercial products, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. government. The University of Mississippi is an EEOAA Title VI, Title IX, Section 504, ADA, ADEA employer. In accordance with federal law and U.S. Department of Agriculture policy, this institution is prohibited from discriminating on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, age, or disability. To file a complaint of discrimination, write USDA Director, Office of Civil Rights, Room 326W, Whitney Building, 1400 Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 202-509-4410, or call 202-720-5964. USDA is an equal opportunity provider and employer.